Coach, I want to just ask you, as an old defensive coordinator, defensive-minded coach, what's your impressions of this Broncos defense, and how does it differ from maybe some ones that you faced before?
Well, obviously, I'm very impressed, and sitting here in admiration looking at what they're doing. It's fun to watch, and it won't be fun to play against, but they're doing a great job, and I think what they've done, different from the past, they're just using their speed. They're very fast. They've got some tremendous athletes, and they're playing base defense and just making the other teams beat you, and nobody's been able to do that so far, so it's been very impressive.
Speaking of defenses, there's obviously a lot of talented safeties in the league, sort of a new breed, but are those type of athletes so rare as to eliminate the possibility that every team could have one, or, you know, like the Ed Reeds and stuff?
They're hard to find, those guys that can do everything and have the temperament to play. It's not easy to have that temperament to be able to hit and come up and hit fullbacks and fill gaps in the running game, and then still have the athleticism to cover people, receivers, man-to-man down the field, to cover half the field or a third of the field. And it is fairly rare. Those guys are not easy to find.
Tony, you're 6-0, and yet there's talk of you know, your team might be a little more vulnerable than in years past because of your run defense and ability to run the ball. What do you say to that?
Well, I think our ability to run the ball is very good, and when we've had opportunities to run, we've run well. People look at us, and then we don't always run. If teams are gonna blitz and play eight in the box and give you looks where it's easier to throw, you know, we don't mind throwing, and I think that's what people look at in our run offense. We may have some games where we have 75 yards rushing, but most of the time it's been because the pass route looks easier. But our backs, you know, I'll match them up with anybody's, and we like our backs and our offensive line. That hasn't really been a concern to me. Our run defense hasn't been as consistent as it needs to be, and that's something that we have to get shored up. We work on it, and we have worked on it, and I think when we have everyone in the lineup and we're playing fast and aggressively, we can play well enough to get it done, but we haven't so far this year.
Is it tough to bring in a guy like McFarland midseason and have him have a real impact for a while? Does he have to
No, it's system? Very easy because he's played in the same defense for 8 years. He just has to get used to playing with our guys, but the assignments and what he has to do and his reads and techniques, everything's the same. That was one of the things that made the trade enticing. I'm not one that likes to give up draft choices, and Bill Polian doesn't either, but the one thing I told Bill is we won't have any guesswork as to how this is going to work out. We know exactly how he's going to play, and last week he played just as we thought he would.
From your days as a player until now, can you give us a feel for the difference on defense in terms of speed? Like, you know, if you could maybe even give an anecdote about how much faster players are today.
I don't think it's a lot different. You know, I think everybody's a little faster, but the fast guys in that day would have still been fast in this day and age. You know, I had Mel Blount when I first started coaching, and I had Rod Woodson a little bit later on, and I would match those guys in a race with anybody I've ever had. My first year in coaching, Daryl Green came out, and I don't know that I've seen a guy faster than him in the whole time I've been coaching. So I think we kind of get lost. There are a lot of guys who are fast, and the bigger guys are a little bit faster, but we had some pretty fast big guys when I was playing with the Steelers. I don't know that we're just that much better and that much faster all the way around. I think the good guys in that era and the fast guys would have still been fast. And Coach Knoll kind of told me that when I first started coaching, that Jim Brown was pretty fast, and he wouldn't bet that he'd get caught by anybody, you know, when I was playing in the 70s and 80s either.
Tony, how important is this game for you guys? I know it's not a divisional game, but just in the sense of this might be a team that you know, with seeding in the playoffs later on down the line, home field advantage, it seems like you guys are two of the top teams in the AFC. How important is this game?
Well, it seems like it at this point, and you always want to win those games when there's that potential. But more than that, I talked to our team about really, you know, securing our place in the division and securing our place in the AFC. You never want to have AFC losses because those go into the tiebreaker. We're three games up in our division. We want to definitely keep that lead. So it's more important from that standpoint, and you know, important in the sense that we're playing a very good football team. We get to show ourselves kind of where we are.
Do you see you and Denver as the top two teams in the AFC right now?
I think it's way too early to talk about that. And anybody that you know, last week I heard that San Diego was the best team in football. As I was watching, we played a late game, and I was watching one of the pregame shows. And there's going to be a lot of best teams in the next few weeks. But it really doesn't matter until you get to November or December. That's when it counts. And I think that's what everybody wants to do is win games, continue to improve, and see if you can be playing your best football in December. And then that's when you find out who the better teams are.
Tony, what did you like about Adai, and can you see him as a primary runner at some point?
Yeah, Joseph's going to be a great player for us, and he's playing well right now. We looked at tape on all the senior running backs or all the running backs that were coming out last year, and I don't know if Joseph was the best, but he did the most things, and he was the most like Edgerrin James in terms of being able to pass protect and run routes and catch the football and run inside and outside. We just thought he was a complete back, and he would fit what we did very well, and so we were happy to get him.
Tony, did you think he would have gone higher had he not moved around so much in college?
No, you know, everybody has a different idea of what they're looking for, and there were some home run hitters, you know, and there were some guys who ran the ball more and maybe did more running the football, but we looked at it as a plus as far as Joseph moving around and playing receiver and playing fullback, and we got to see him do a lot of things that the back in our offense has to do. So I think it's in the eye of the beholder, but we're happy he fell to us.
Tony, out here, that you know, watching the Broncos this year, general mindset seems to be that they've played really well, but kind of they want to see the proof in the pudding against you guys, given what's happened in the past. How are you guys looking at going against this Denver defense the way they've been playing? I mean, how are you guys approaching that? I mean, is this as big a test for your offense, or I mean, you guys?
No, we're looking at it as a test for the whole team. It's you have to go out there and win the game, and I think that's what Denver's done. They've taken opponents' strengths and taken it away from them, and they played conservative on offense at some time because that was the best way to win that particular game. So, you know, we're going to have to play well offensively and see if we can put points on the board. We're going to have to play well defensively and not let them possess the ball and not let them, you know, run it like they have at times on us. And it's going to be a test for everybody. Special teams, they've got, you know, Quincy Morgan and Darren Williams. They've got some returners that can make the difference in one play. So I think we're seeing it as a test for our whole team against a very good football team.
Tony, what are some of the challenges of running that no-huddle offense that you guys like so much?
The real challenge for that is just to get everybody acclimated to doing it. And with our veteran guys, it's really not a problem. When we have new guys and we trade for someone or we draft someone such as Joseph, just getting him to understand all the code words and doing things at the line of scrimmage instead of really getting your play in the huddle and having, you know, 10 seconds to walk to the line and think about it. That's the biggest thing. But as far as communication or being able to do it, you know, something that Tom Moore, who runs the offense, he was my coach in college, and that's what we did 30, I hate to say how many years ago, 33 or 34 years ago. So it's not, mentally it's not a challenge, it's just getting used to it.
Can you ever see a point where a team would use that as their primary offense?
Well, that's what we do. We don't huddle very much. We huddle on short yardage and goal line plays, and we huddle at the end of games when we're trying to protect leads and take time off the clock. But other than that, we haven't really huddled much in probably 3 years.
Why do you prefer that so much?
Well, it just gives us a little more time at the line of scrimmage to see what's going on, and it makes it just a little bit different for the defense. They have to practice doing what they do without a huddle. They have to practice their communication. If you're not used to doing that, it just puts a little extra thing that you have to practice, and I think that's good.
What are your thoughts on the Denver secondary, and how do you think your talented receivers match up?
Well, they've got a good defense, and the secondary is part of that. They've got guys who are great ball skills guys. They're playing very physical. Not only their safeties, but their corners are coming up and tackling well. They're playing a lot of zone defense. They're getting everybody to the ball. They're not giving up big plays, and they have some ball hawks back there. So it's kind of a perfect group for what they want to do, and they've been impressive.
Is that the biggest difference you've seen? I mean, obviously you study them extensively, playing them in the playoffs. They had injuries in those games, but also they've overhauled the personnel since then.
Well, I think the big thing, they have confidence in their personnel. They're not blitzing as much. They're probably creating a little more pressure with their front four, and so they're not putting those guys in predictable man-to-man situations. You have to read it out and try to figure out what they're doing, and they're making teams go the long route and see if you can get an 8 or 10-play drive. And as I say, most of the teams that have played against them so far haven't been able to do that.
Tony, what do you think the Broncos are going to do in their offensive line?
I don't know. And I never kind of make a habit of trying to predict or trying to coach the other team. So, Matt Lepsis was a very good player for them, and it's a key position, left tackle. But usually, you know, you plug someone in, and the guy that's practiced there, and he does a good job. And many times one guy's misfortune is another guy's opportunity to shine.
This may not be what the option is, but you had Adam Meadows there. Were you surprised when he came back?
I was a little surprised because Adam had some injuries, and we talked to him when he was thinking about retiring. And Adam was a very good player for us, and I knew he was, you know, experienced some physical problems, but then he said that was pretty much over and he wanted to get back into it, and we certainly explored it and tried to sign him and thought he'd be an asset for us. So I was a little bit surprised that he decided to come back, but once he did, I felt he was going to be a valuable player for someone.
Tony, you've taken some guys who are considered undersized in the defensive line. What did you think of Dumervil when he came out, and do you think he could progress like Mathis has for you and eventually be a starter type?
We sure did. We liked him a lot. He was very similar to guys that we've had success with, a strong, powerful guy who had great leverage in part because of his height. He's underneath a lot of blockers, and he's got speed and quickness, and we liked him a lot, and he's playing very well for them.